we need to do prevention activities for all kids, but then students who have been traumatized, particularly those who may have been more severely traumatized, may need more support than what can be provided through that core instruction or what's happening within the general education classroom. There are so many different things we can do to help students who may need more support. Again, the four tasks, I believe, are what can help us provide a framework around our plan or program that we might put in place for those students, whether it's a general education program or supports that we build in into the general education classroom, supports that we build in through general education access to counseling within the school, all the way up to things that we might do as part of a 504 plan or part of an individualized educational program for a student who may be entitled to special education. The four tasks can drive and help us think about how to meet the needs of these traumatized kids. So first, we start with safety. If we have a student who may be struggling with behavior problems and we're not sure how to help them, let's start with that first question, whether it's in a way of trying to be proactive or even looking at a particular moment in time. We ask ourselves, is this student feeling safe right now? If not, then what do we need to do to help that kiddo feel safe? Does that mean we need to help make their world a little bit smaller? Does that mean we need to provide more access or even scheduled access to preferred adults within the building who help them feel safe? For some students, for instance, who may have been exposed to trauma and have been traumatized, recess can sometimes be a difficult time for them because it's hard to regulate their emotions and their arousal level when they're outside. You might have a kiddo who is day after day showing aggressive tendencies on the playground. Well, a typical kind of school response across the nation is to have that child come into the office and maybe miss the next recess as a consequence for that behavior. One of the type of students is that you can consequence them today. You can take away recess again tomorrow. You can take a recess away for the next year, but that doesn't necessarily ever help that child be successful at recess. So we need to really flip the lens a little bit and use those tasks to help us by thinking about what can we do to build safety for this child at recess. And that might mean that this particular kiddo, for at least a period of time, has a small group recess where they have closer access to an adult. Maybe they have fewer recess choices so that we're setting them up for success. And by having an adult close by, they're coached on how to handle situations that might otherwise be too dysregulating for them. Because what we know about traumatized kids, and I believe what we know about all kids, actually, is they learn more from success than they learn from failure. Don't we all? We learn more from success than we do from failure. Because we can build on success. We can remember that and build on it and do it again and have the confidence to know that we can do it again. So then we move on to the next task. So perhaps a student is feeling safe, but they're still struggling, whether it's in this moment in time or in general, as we start to look at patterns of behavior. One example that I share in my book, and I've talked about at our trainings, is about Charlie. So Charlie is a student who's fictional, by the way, but who has experienced trauma, different kinds of trauma, and because of that is very hypervigilant, hypersensitive to feeling rejected. So what might happen with Charlie is Charlie comes in from recess multiple times and makes it through recess okay, but math starts up soon after and teacher is giving direction for math and all of a sudden Charlie's papers are on the floor, maybe Charlie's chair is tipped over and Charlie's saying, I'm not doing it, you're not going to make me. And we have this behavioral escalation happening because Charlie's dysregulated. Over time, with talking with Charlie, getting to know Charlie better, understanding what's happening with Charlie, we might learn that what's really the foundation of the behavior that we're seeing is that Charlie experienced a typical kind of peer interaction at recess, a conflict, that left him feeling rejected. And he may make it through recess, you know, kind of holding it together. But by the time he manages the line coming in and his feelings are building and building and growing bigger and bigger, and he sits down at his desk, he's reached really kind of the end of his window of tolerance, if you will, for being able to handle the big emotions that are coming up inside. And when the teacher hands Charlie that math paper to do or that math assignment, that's requiring heavy-duty upstairs brain activity. And because Charlie's using so much of his energy to regulate the emotions that he feels from that rejection, it's too much for him. So what we really need to do is understand where that behavior is coming from, not just focus on how do we consequence Charlie, or how do we make sure Charlie doesn't get out of the math assignment no matter what, or how do we reward Charlie, but rather the question becomes how do we understand how not feeling safe or not feeling connected or not being regulated may be impacting Charlie's behavior. And then we can put a plan in place that helps build that safety, that connection, and that regulation for him so he can have the ability to be able to learn.
I used to say myself even, and I've heard other colleagues say is, well, if Charlie can do it one day, Charlie can do it another day, and it's Charlie's choosing not to. Just because Charlie's able to do it one day doesn't mean that Charlie has that safety, connection, and regulation to be able to do it on a different day when the circumstances may be different. So it becomes less about when I see this behavior, here's what I do, and more about how can I be in this place of showing the child that or teen that no matter what, I care about them, I'm here for them. And when I see behavior or any other sign that the child is struggling, my first inclination is going to be to connect with the child, to connect and say, hey, kiddo, what's going on? Help me understand here. Now, that doesn't mean the classroom teacher can always be the person to do that. They have a room full of youth that they need to be tending to. It may mean that we're tapping into other supports within the school, whether it's the counselor or paraprofessionals. I kid you not, some of the most trauma-sensitive professionals I've encountered are in the classroom, but they're also in the office, in the cafeteria, in the hallway. It can be anybody in the school and needs to be everybody in the school who can respond to kids in trauma-sensitive ways. One of my favorite examples to share is, you know, one of the things that can happen in a school, especially with traumatized students, is we can have those kids who are chronically late. And especially with young children, that's certainly not their fault nor their responsibility to get themselves to school on time. But understandably, when you have students who are chronically late in whatever school that might be, that can be frustrating for the secretarial staff when a child repeatedly comes in or a sibling group repeatedly comes in and they're late and the lunch count's already been turned in and the phone's ringing and there's so much going on. It would be really easy for any secretary in that situation to kind of sigh and say, you're late again. And I say, I have to tell you, it's so important to get to school on time. But a trauma-sensitive staff member is going to understand that there may have been many circumstances that led to that tardiness today, and goodness knows what that child may have experienced the morning or the night before, and greets that child with a smile that's genuine and says, hey, kiddo, I'm glad you're here. Have you had breakfast this morning? If not, you know what? I've got a little basket here. I've got a granola bar. I've got some cereal. I've got some bananas. What sounds good to you? And from there, the child who may be coming from a very stressful situation, we don't know, and we may never know, that child's first experience walking in the door and that the experience they can count on every single day is that there are people here who care about me, who are going to connect with me, they care, and they're here for me. Some of the best things that can happen once that connection is made is, you know, that little one's eyes might tear up a little bit because they're experiencing a little bit of safety and security. And a trauma-sensitive secretary at that point is going to call me, the school counselor, or whoever the school counselor may be, and say, you know, so-and-so's here, but I just have a sense that something's up. Can you meet them in the hallway and just connect before they head to the classroom? That can make all the difference in that child's day and that child's life. Have adults who just open their arms to them and say, we're here for you. How can we help?